This is Great FM.
Hello, folks. Welcome to another interesting conversation on Great FM, the official podcast series by Great HR. Through the many conversations we've had on this podcast series, one thread really runs common, which is the role of HR in establishing and facilitating culture, processes, and giving people a safe, encouraging, and good workplace, right? In fact, it's quite interesting. If you look at all of the themes we've covered, HR always has to be focused on these three things: people, processes, and culture. But through research and, of course, many of the insights that have been provided by experts in the field on our series, it's often a misstep to focus on just one of the three. On the contrary, you know, one of the biggest priorities for HR should always be to facilitate the interaction of people, processes, and culture to create a healthy, sustainable, and thriving work environment. You want your organization to last a long time, right? So today we're exploring this integral part of HR's work, because if you hadn't already guessed it, it's a lot easier said than done. Joining us in conversation right now is Dr. Ishani Roy, the founder of Serene Inc. In fact, Serene is an attempt at using science to enable diversity and inclusion and drive organizational development in every business in India, which is great because I'm guessing Dr. Roy has many insights for us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ahalya. Lovely to be on the show.
And, you know, like I said, one of the most important, roles of HR is to sort of facilitate this conversation between these three elements in a workplace. And I have to say, this is also the second appearance that Serene is making on our series. So why don't you start us off with a valuable perspective that you bring to the table, the one of on-ground approach, right? Given the work that Serene dedicates itself to, I'm sure you've seen how HR plays a big role in the integration. So how would you suggest one approaches the convergence of people, processes, and culture?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. Conversations about culture is very close to my heart. We have worked with over 300 startups now in India to implement culture, safety, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. So I'll share my thoughts on how to build a great culture and integrate, like you said, people and process it along with it. Mm-hmm. Since the work I do is in the space of equity and inclusion, I'll tell you a little bit about how to look into these processes and culture through mm-hmm. a DEI lens as well.
Okay.
So for us, people are the ones who make up culture, right? And processes are the step that enables informing a great culture. So at the onset, I would like you to think about, what do we mean by a good culture? Ahalya, you can take a stab at it as well.
I think a good culture is one that maybe helps people prosper, but also keeps them safe at the same time.
Wow, that's lovely. That's beautiful. So most of the times when we ask this question to people, they would say, I think open culture, I think great team bonding, I think going out on Friday nights, having a great facility, a foosball table. So what we often hear is that culture people misjudge as perks, right? They think that, you know, having some cool facilities in the workplace is what makes a good culture. But not necessarily, right? Mm-hmm. A foosball table does not make you stay on in the company, but belonging, the feeling of inclusion or belonging is what makes you stay in the company. For us, like exactly like you said, culture is how one is made to feel comfortable, to thrive, to prosper, right? So if an organization is truly open in culture, people should feel like their voices are heard and they mm-hmm. belong there. Mm-hmm. So what we say to our partners is that think of it as values in the organization, right? Whenever you're thinking of organizational values, that's what builds a culture. So let me give you a few examples. How about transparency? If you are going to be transparent about, say, your leave policy, fairness, acknowledgement of everyone's efforts. What about innovation and collaboration? What about inclusion to all kinds of people coming from different backgrounds, different language, different generation, different sexual identity, for example? Whatever your values are, if you talk more about it, if you are open about it, that's what creates a good culture, right? But how do you do that? How do you do that? Like, leadership can set values, but people are the ones at the end of the day who implement them. And when you said that HR, what is the role of HR into it? That is where they come in, right? Leadership can come up with values, but to make sure that on ground that is getting implemented through processes, say, for example, policies, say, for example, little nudges that you send out, conversations that you have. That's how HR can actually implement the culture through processes. So that's my two cents on people, process, and culture.
Okay, lovely. It would be wrong to put a price on that. And you know, from your own experience, Dr. Roy, what have you seen become the main benefits of these three elements conversing with each other? And when they work successfully together, you know, what are the tangible, noticeable benefits that come out of that?
Yeah, this is absolutely a wonderful question. I would like to define tangible. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would ask us, tangible means business benefit, right? Mm-hmm. Now, business benefit, you want to see it as monetary gain. How do you think of it as monetary gain? Okay, there are studies which say that, you know, if you have great culture and great people processes, then you have like your market value is higher than others. So these are correlational studies which are out there. For us in Indian context, I would like you to think about the business case slightly differently. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we notice very tangible is better hiring and higher retention. So one of the things that happens with a very good culture and good processes, which are very well implemented by leadership and HR, is that that can be used as a way to attract good talent. So say, for example, you know, we can talk about perks, we can talk about benefits, but those are over a period of time that kind of loses its shine, maybe just during the hiring. But if you want people who are getting hired to refer more people, they can refer their families, their friends and their ex-colleagues, then a lot of times a good process and good culture really comes into play. And that typically studies have shown really help in higher retention. Mm-hmm. So if you want to put a cost to it, then lower attrition is something that we see very, very tangibly.
You know, with most of these conversations, I think one of the most important things for people to understand is that there are noticeable benefits to these things. And that's why it's in your own self-interest, really, to pay attention to all of this. Yeah. And on the other hand, what have you noticed be the downfalls of not integrating these three elements successfully?
Okay. So there are three things that I will talk about. So number one, what we have seen, the lack of processes. Mm-hmm. Say, for example, from an inclusion point of view, it makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. I'll start off with, say, policies, right? If you don't have policies which talk about zero tolerance, that can impact one's sense of safety significantly. So like you said, right, I want to always feel like I'm safe in the organization. Mm-hmm. Now, safe in the organization is not only my physical safety. Of course, that matters a lot too. If I'm traveling for my office work, I want to know that where I'm being sent, it's a safe space for me. Right. So that often is a very important thing. The other thing is psychological safety. So for example, if you feel uncomfortable about something, Ahalya, like what would you like your company to do?
Ooh, another one. Let's see. Hear me out. I think that's probably key, right? Be able to know that if I have something to say and talk about, that people in my organization would be open to listening to me and be receptive, and then maybe see how they can support me. But I think believing someone is probably the first step.
You know, you just nailed it completely. So being heard is one of the biggest aspects of psychological safety. So even if I feel uncomfortable, I feel threatened, I feel discriminated against, I want to know that someone is out there who will hear my voice, right? However small that issue might be, there's somebody out there. And what you said in the very end is that there won't be any retaliation against me. Somebody will hear it and I will not be penalized for it because I have raised my concern.
Right.
Those two things are so important. So one of the downfalls of not having a good open culture and a good open people practices, for example, is that lack of psychological safety. And the third one that I want to talk about that comes in the process or in the aspect of processes is the transparency. So any kind of process that companies incorporate, for smaller companies, I would have this advice that whenever you're putting in processes, two things keep in mind, make it transparent so people know that there is nothing opaque that is going on. Nothing right. will be brushed under the carpet. And second thing, make sure you're fair towards people. Right? It should not be coming across as that I am doing some favorable things towards a few people that I want to keep them, but the rest of the people, not so much. So fairness and transparency in regards to processes are something which if not implemented right, could be a downfall.
Okay, all right. Got you loud and clear.
This is Great FM.
And Dr. Roy, how do we go about actually implementing this? It seems like a tall order. So how do we actually go about facilitating this specifically for HR professionals?
This is a perfect question. I think processes are mainly implemented correctly by good HR. That's been really my experience so far. So I'll break it down in terms of who is HR collaborating with, right? So in terms of people, one of the things that, say, for example, hiring, putting in processes and good culture in terms of recruitment, one of the people to collaborate with would be the hiring managers. They are the ones essentially who are actually going ahead and implementing those, right? So once the HR starts working very, very directly with the hiring managers, saying that, you know, your processes should be very inclusive. When you are asking a question during the recruitment round, make sure that these questions are the same questions. Questions are being asked to the male candidate as well as the female candidate. Make sure that you're not asking anything different towards a person who comes from a different background or a language or class, caste or religion, right? All of these things may, you know, the HR can actually implement along with the hiring managers. So in terms of these kind of processes, I think the biggest collaborator and the biggest implementer are the HR and hiring manager. In terms of culture, I would say it starts from the leadership. So one of the exercises that leadership can do along with HR is a values exercise. So very early on, sometimes we tell our startups, which are, say, for example, 10 or 15 people, and they are ready to grow to the next 100 with a round of funding, for example, that very, very early on, do your culture and values conversation. Set them in stone, right? If there is something about fairness, something about acknowledging people, something about frugality, however simple you find it, make sure that that is set in stone. Then HR can actually implement it and have a very open values and culture conversation going forward. So these are the two ways that very early on culture and people processes can be implemented.
Okay, lovely. I think those give us some, you know, really concrete stepping stones to kick things off from. But, you know, the one thing that always occurs to me in many of the conversations about processes, people, culture within the world of HR, Dr. Roy, is that, you know, it's an ever evolving process, right? It's dynamic. It's constantly changing. It has to change with the times. Even if you look at just, you know, the way the pandemic rolled out and how we had to adapt to things, right? So how do you ensure that it stays sustainable? How do you ensure that the process never gets halted, never becomes stale? And I wonder if a well thought out and effective feedback mechanism plays an important role in this kind of integration.
This is a very, very good question. There's a lot of, you know, good work that is going on in understanding how to effectively use feedback mechanism to better this conversation. One point to keep in mind is that feedback mechanism that has to be very well thought out, because sometimes we have seen and studies show that feedback can depend on time of the year, for example, whether it's a performance cycle or not, whether the person, the tenure of the person in the organization. So a time of the year apparently plays a role. So so one of the things is that this mechanism has to be very intelligently implemented. Studying culture, there are very nice, good ways of studying the culture, the pulse of the organization. This can be actually done qualitatively as well as quantitatively. So quantitatively, basically to understand like why are processes not being followed? What are the basically certain managers not implementing the processes correctly? What are the things that are being used and who is using it, whether male members or female members, on which demographic is not being able to use it? So there are very nice ways of quantitatively studying process and culture. But one of the very important ones is qualitative studies as well. Right. One way to think about it is focus group discussions. Okay. These are very useful to effectively study how processes have been, how the practical implementation by managers have been. Have they been fair, or they have been prone to biases by individual managers?
Yes.
By doing correlation studies, for example, talking to the managers, talking to the people who are being implemented too. So, and doing a correlation to understand whether it's being useful or not. So focus group discussions actually are used widely and mm-hmm. not widely used, and they have found to be effective.
Should be used widely.
Yeah, right.
Right, absolutely. And you know, one of the greatest things, Dr. Roy, about a podcast, right, and listeners tuning into a podcast, is that it gives you an opportunity to learn from other people's mistakes, right? So for all of the HR professionals out there, when we've got our experts talking about their experiences, their insights, please feel free to take all that you can from this and then apply it within your own organizations for, you know, growth and sustainability. And that's kind of where I'm getting at with this one. Dr. Roy, you know, are there some mistakes or missteps in the past that you've encountered HR professionals making that, you know, now when you talk about them, they can avoid them in the future?
Okay, this is absolutely the greatest question, because, you know, our experience of working with so many companies who have been in their growth stage, this is something we have noticed quite, you know, openly. Mm-hmm. One of the things, the misstep that happens is not talking about culture at the right time. So two of the things I would like to caution people. Say, for example, when you are growing for a close-knit 15 people team to suddenly a 50 people team, right? Mm-hmm. That is one growth spurt that happens. A second growth spurt that we have seen happens is once again less than 100 people to suddenly growing to 500 people. Now, both these junctions are actually extremely essential to keep in mind processes and culture. First right. one, in the place where we are going from 15 or a dozen people to suddenly 50, this is where I have seen processes take a backseat, because so you're so used to 15 people, are so used to working in a certain way, then you often miss out on putting in processes that the rest of the people will need going forward, right? So this is where I've definitely seen that a good HR person coming in at the right time, putting in the processes, helps tremendously. Next misstep, what I have seen, is going from a great 50 people team to like a 200, 300 or a 500 people team. This is where culture takes a backseat sometimes, okay. where we forget to talk about values, where we are such a growth spurt, or there is a business or answerable to investors, there are revenue targets that you have to meet, that culture conversation takes a backseat. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have seen the highest number of, for example, attrition, or, you know, even it can have different image of a company being changed if you don't have the culture conversation at that stage.
Okay, all right. That is really valuable advice for us, Dr. Roy. And I think I want to close today's conversation going back to something we talked about in the middle, which was, you know, the pandemic, right? How have you seen this integration of people, processes, and culture sort of change or evolve after the fallout of the pandemic, if at all? And do you think that, you know, this change needs to be taken more seriously in the coming years in order to, you know, stay afloat?
Yes, I definitely think so. I will say it in both ways. Mm-hmm. One is that, yes, culture conversation is a need of the hour at the moment. Right. Because when you're hiring somebody, say, who's a remote worker, they're not seeing you face to face. So if you're a very hardworking company, or if you know, lead by examples, they don't get the chance to see that face to face. So if that conversation becomes even more essential to have when you are virtual. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is important is a lot of onus is currently being placed on managers and leadership, saying that, you know, they need to make sure that the values conversation, the conversation on culture needs to happen in the right way for people to stay. But mm-hmm. I would say it has to be a conversation that should happen together, because okay. there's a lot of burnout we are noticing amongst leadership and managers as well. And which is something I feel that if it is it's not an unidirectional, but a bidirectional conversation, mm-hmm. like a lot can be achieved this way.
Well, Dr. Roy, I have to say thank you very much. I also have to say that I've had a lot of pleasure just specifically because I got to call you Dr. Roy the entire conversation.
But my PhD is not in this field at all.
It's got a wonderful ring to it. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Great FM and for sharing your insights, some very wholesome and, you know, all encompassing insights that you've given us today, Dr. Roy. So thanks a lot for hopping on. And I hope everyone listening has, you know, made the best of this episode.
Thank you so much, Alia. It was a pleasure.
Great. Well, that's a wrap on this conversation on Great FM, folks. Of course, we're going to be back with many more enticing, exciting, and wonderful stories from the world of HR. For now, this is me, Ahalya, signing off, but I will catch you very soon.
This is Great FM.